Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Richard Rossi here. Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. So grateful for all the emails and calls, those of you that have appreciated our show being back on the air. We started this program on WPIT-FM, and we're grateful after a sabbatical of sorts to be back on air internationally. I'm really excited to have our first celebrity guest on this program. Our first two programs, we talked about creating your life and answering your questions about how to do what you love and monetize it. But our first celebrity guest is the lead singer of the Hollywood hot band, the Aeons. And I know this guy pretty well because he's my son, Joshua Richard Rossi. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be your first guest after the sabbatical, as you had said.
So, Josh, the name The Aeons, it's spelled, by the way, those of you listening, if you want to go to their website, they have a few websites. There's theaeons.com, right? theaeons.com. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right.
You can like the band at facebook.com/TheAeons, TheAeons. They got lots of music and merch at another site, which is TheAeons, TheAeons, .bandcamp, BANDCAMP.com. Let's talk about the name. As you know, I have a ministerial background, studied the New Testament in Greek, the original Koine Greek, so I know what The Aeons means, what that word means. It's a word in the Bible, in the Greek, when Jesus talks about everlasting life, it's Aeons or age. But how did you pick that name? How did you guys choose that name?
Well, I think most rock bands, the number one criterion is, does it sound cool? So I heard one of the bands I like called Pavement, the lead singer made a joke that that's why they chose their name. But at the time, everyone in the band was like 15 or 16, and we all just made up a bunch of different names, and we just sort of voted on them. And I guess now it just means different things to different people in the band. So I actually didn't come up with the name. It was the original drummer made it up, but...
Really?
Yeah, but now I sort of... I like that it makes you... It widens your perspective because it makes you think about time and space. And I'm not super big on time and space and all that stuff, but I like how it widens your perspective. You know.
Now I know there's been a little bit of personnel change. Who was the original drummer that thought of the name? Was that
Danny, our friend Danny? Yeah.
And what was his last name?
Danny Nguyen.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And what's the current lineup of the band? Now, I know that you, Josh, write the songs, lead vocals, guitar, keyboard, and assorted instruments you play. Tell us the rest of the lineup of the band.
Well, it's Alan, my friend Alan, plays bass. He's been playing bass with us. He's been playing bass with us since we were like 16, so I've been playing with him for a long, long time. Renee plays guitar. He's been playing with us for a few years, and our current drummer is a guy named Seth. I pretty much I'll write the songs to varying degrees of detail. Sometimes they just sort of sometimes there's a ton of room for everybody to sort of want to rearrange some of the material or write, you know, their parts and stuff.
And I have to say, your songwriting is so so good. My listeners, you all know that I've written songs since I was young, and Josh's songwriting is so far beyond what I wrote as a young man. I mean, I think, how did this kid must be 70 years old and a young soul, because he writes with such great poetry and metaphor and depth. I know you have a love for literature. Do you think that influences you quite a bit?
I think it has. Well, I think the lyrics, I feel like I was better at music for a while than I was at writing lyrics. Like I would write other things, other sort of fiction, but I wouldn't. It wasn't until maybe a couple of years ago that I was more and more aware of the craft of writing for songs, because it's a really different form than fiction or prose. It's even different than poetry in a way. You pick up different elements from all the art that you experience and incorporate it into what you do, you know.
A lot of people ask this question. I know I hear it a lot. So probably for the 1,000th time, what generally comes first for you, the words or the music?
I think most people, I would imagine, it's the music. So I think I've heard, and it was for me as well. It wasn't until I started to journal and write prose poems over the past year or so. I've done that, I mean, somewhat extensively, so I would pick up lines and things to incorporate into lyrics. So, and that way it would be lyrics first, and then there's one thing where I'd been listening to a lot of Bob Dylan, and I wrote this song, which you've heard. Not a lot of people have heard. It's really new. So I wrote lyrics to this song called Homeless Dave, about Homeless Dave, but then about a few other sort of like sympathetic but sad people that I know. And so I just wrote it. I had kind of in mind writing it as verses. And then, so that was completely lyrics first, and then I put music to it. I had done that with one other song, I think, but generally it's music.
Was it somewhat inspired by my friend Homeless Dave?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was. What's funny is that I started writing. I'd been thinking about him for some reason. I don't know why. And then I went to a party with Karis, you know, my sister, your daughter. And there's this guy that I hadn't seen for a few years that was kind of just an acquaintance of hers, but he was sort of like the typical host of a party scene in like Woodland Hills, and it was weird. He seemed like a cool guy, you know. He's kind of maybe jaded or sort of like a crass sort of guy, but he was pretty kind though at the same time. But he was troubled that night, but he was covering it up. And later, like the next day, my sister found out that his cousin died, who was like his best friend. And so I was just thinking about his life, and you know, how it sort of revolves around this party scene, which is kind of shallow, but you know, just seeing that there's more depth to him, like there is to everybody. You know, he had a really good friend and his cousin, and he was really kind of depressed over his cousin dying. And then, you know, at the same time, I was like in the parents' room for a second and just hanging out with some people. And, you know, I like noticed her super large collection of VHSs. And so you sort of take what you experience and reimagine it in your writing. So, and the song talks about Homeless Dave and this guy whose cousin died, and, you know, an imagined woman character who, one of her kind of only comforts in life is watching these old movies on VHS over and over again.
Wow, it's a great, great song. We're going to play a few songs in a moment for you listeners of the Aeon's music. Homeless Dave, I was reading a passage in the Gospel of Luke where Christ says, when you have a dinner, invite not the well-to-do and all your friends, but, you know, go to the streets and invite the people that have nowhere to go. So trying to follow Jesus in a very literal way, I was bringing home homeless people for dinner, and that wasn't always a smooth process. God bless my wife, Sherry, and your mother, Josh, for putting up with some of the crazy people I was bringing home and all the things that resulted. What was your memory? Do you have some memories of Homeless Dave from him coming over, and what was your memory of him?
You know, what struck me is it wasn't obvious he was homeless. I mean, it kind of was. He was sort of dirty and smelled a little bit, but he was somewhat kempt, or, you know, well kempt, but not really. And he, you know, could talk about various subjects, you know, pretty well and interestingly. But I think I was just really fascinated with the fact that he had such a passion for celebrity and just following celebrities and getting his picture taken with celebrities, you know. So it's admirable that he was able to have such a drive and, you know, kind of can-do attitude and or go-getter attitude to, like, find all these celebrities at events and get pictures with them. So it's kind of cool. And then on the other hand, sort of sad. It's like, you know, maybe that's how different people feel a sense of meaning or worth in life. Maybe some people, it's, you know.
Yeah, in fact, I have a photo Homeless Dave took. I cherish it. I can see right from where I'm sitting of me and Peter Falk. And I'd written the script for The Last Columbo before Peter Falk got sick. Well, I think we're at about a third of the way through the show, and we have three songs here. So let's hear the first song. Tell us about the song Don't Let Me Go.
Yeah. Well, I guess real quick, I think maybe it would be better to just play two. There's one song that's kind of newer I maybe want to withhold from playing for just a second. The song Don't Let Me Go, it's sort of like a spoof, not a spoof, but it's sort of like in the vein of a 60s song, 60s song, kind of Beatles sort of sounding, but it comes off sounding a little bit more intense and not punky, but we just sound intense, I guess. So it's sort of like a, you know, Beatles twist song, and kind of, you know, it's like all those songs are sort of lovey-dovey, so it's kind of like that, but the flip side of, you know, like the end of a romance, but the tone of it is, musically it sounds more uppity or whatever, but yeah, so it's just like a mix from, both these songs are a mix from a live show we had done recently.
Yeah, I heard it at the live show, it sounded great, and that was at Universal City, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was at City Walk, yeah.
Infusion Lounge?
Mm-hmm.
You've played, speaking of gigs, a lot of really great places. You've played Johnny Depp's club that he had owned, the Viper Room. You've played the iconic Whiskey on the Sunset Strip, Whiskey A Go-Go,
yeah,
which was the club that birthed the great band The Doors, Jim Morrison. You've played the Roxy. I know I'm forgetting some. What are some? Any other Sunset Strip clubs? Am I forgetting any?
We done a...
Oh, House of Blues.
Yeah, we done a... the sort of lounge room in House of Blues.
Yeah, House of Blues. And you have, which clubs do you, out of those kind of iconic clubs, which did you like the most?
I think, as of now, I think the Roxy has the best environment, the nicest crew. The sound's pretty good, too. I think sometimes at the Whiskey, you'd get a bad sound guy, and you know, he wouldn't really care to really try to make it sound great.
Well, keep up with the Aeons, by the way, on their gigs, their music. Like them at facebook.com/TheAeons, TheAeons. And the music you're about to hear, you can buy the music and merchandise at theaeons.bandcamp.com. So here is Don't Let Me Go. And while you're listening, if any of you feel like calling in live to the show, the guest call-in number for any of you that are out there listening live, I know some of you listen to this after the fact, but if you're listening live, you can call us right now and be on hold here at 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379. And here is the Aeons, Don't Let Me Go.
This song's for you guys. It's called Don't Let Me Go. I know it doesn't help, but I'm
friends, that was live from Universal Studios at the Infusion Lounge, recent performance. And wow, that mix sounded great for a live performance, Josh.
Well, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, normally, sometimes when you have a live recording, as you know, it just doesn't have the nice mix of a studio record, and the lyrics, the vocals often are a little lost. And I thought, you know, your lead vocal, everything was really clear. And I know that you and Renee kind of swapped guitar duties. Who was playing the lead on that?
When in the middle of the song, when there was a break, when there was no vocals, I did that solo, and then all the other high parts were was Renee.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the guitar work you guys did there, as well as all the instrumentation. Alan on bass was great, and drums were great. I think that was Alonzo on drums on that show.
Yeah.
So one of the songs we'll be playing in a few moments is entitled "It Was the Drugs I Took." And so I want to tell any fundamentalists out there listening, or the Parents Council, please don't send me letters and say that we're promoting drugs and I'm promoting my son promoting drugs. Josh has a very unique technique in writing, and he does it in several of his songs, where he kind of, like an actor, will embody the point of view of a character and what they're going through. It doesn't necessarily mean he's doing all that or advocating all that. How did you stumble upon that technique of songwriting? Because I think it is confusing to more literal type, you know, literist thinkers, as they say, where, oh, my God, you're singing about doing this and doing that, and they assume that you mean you. I mean, I get that as an actor, where if I play a character that does immoral things, they're thinking I'm immoral or promoting immorality. How did you start doing that type of technique where you would write almost in the persona of somebody else?
I think it's understandable why people would get confused. I think most artists are somewhat autobiographical, or, you know, honest with what they write. Some definitely aren't, you know, sometimes tell stories and stuff. I think just being somewhat of an internal imaginative kid, you sort of put yourself in other situations. Maybe you read something and identify with something, a character you read, and it's, you know, maybe something like that, you know, makes you want to sort of write about different experiences or aspects of life that maybe you have or haven't had to different degrees.
Yeah, Josh, for those of you listening that don't know, Josh is my son, and he was really started in music very, very young, as did I, and we have a heritage of music. My father, Richard Rossi Sr., was a phenomenal guitar player, just fantastic, probably the best in Pittsburgh, where we grew up, and he taught hundreds and hundreds of guitar students and played every weekend growing up. And so I grew up around hearing great guitar players all the time, just by osmosis, as well as my father teaching me. So Josh then was, you know, the third or fourth generation. In fact, my father's father played mandolin. And the Rossi is the most common last name in Italy, and the mandolin is a beautiful instrument in a lot of the Italian music, also La Mio and Tarantella and all that type of stuff. So he grew up hearing his father play the mandolin. But you started on drums, if I remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was probably 5 or 6, and yeah, playing drums.
I think that was great, established the rhythm, and I remember you and I playing Little Drummer Boy around this time of year when you were a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, cute little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I played. We did a great rendition in tuxedos of him on the drums and me on guitar of Drummer Boy for a Christmas show. And then did you move to guitar?
Yeah, I was probably almost 10, or I was about 10. Yeah, when I finally had the patience for learning it. Yeah.
Oh, 10.
Yeah.
And I remember you writing a song. I hope I'm not embarrassing you, but one of the first songs I remember Josh writing was a song called "Love's Coming to Your Neighborhood." Do you remember writing that song? How old you were? How you wrote it?
Oh yeah. What was that? I think I probably had just sung some verses as a kid. Kids do that, you know. And I think you encouraged me that would be a song, and that could be a song, and that I could write songs. And me and you wrote words together, you know, simple verse and chorus. And
it was pretty catchy, "Love's Coming to Your Neighborhood."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really great, the creativity of children. You and Karis both wrote songs when we were little like that, and I think Picasso is right when he said that the artist side of us is a child, and Picasso said that we're all born as artists, as children,
yeah.
And the trick as we grow up is to remain children, remain artists. One of my favorite guys on TV, Dick Van Dyke, when he got the SAG Lifetime Achievement Award last year, he said, isn't it great that I found a profession where I don't have to grow up? And so I'm so glad you've kept in touch with your childlikeness, your creativity, which is what we talk a lot about on this show.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I feel like as you get older, you know, we're put through so many different systems, you know, with school and work and, you know, whatever it is, and or even media telling us what to do. And it's like they keep trying to restrain your thought and your expression, and I think that's what keeps people from that sort of curiosity and willingness to do new things and to be themselves. You know, I think that's what I see as being a kid and or creative, the creative side of being a kid, and how being a kid is like creativity.
Well, speaking of controversial songs, we're going to listen to it was The Drugs I Took. And if you want to listen to more of the Aeon stuff or buy their music or merchandise, like them at facebook.com/TheAeons, TheAeons. Buy music and merch at TheAeons, TheAeons.bandcamp.com. So why don't you introduce the song and we'll play it. We'll take them live to the Infusion Lounge where you recently performed this song on Universal Studios lot.
Sure. Let's just say it's a rock song. You know, there's kind of maybe a tongue-in-cheek fact that there's a rock song that's about sex and drugs. You know, it's kind of a joke. But the song's not a joke. I don't know, I guess maybe just listen to it and see what you think. We can talk a little bit about it afterward.
The Aeons, and it was The Drugs I Took.
All right, this song's about sex and drugs.
It was the drugs I took. It was the way she looked. It was the urge in my veins, keeping blood from my brain. It was the chorus of fate, choosing each step we take. It wasn't drugs I took. It up, I took it right. I bet you never felt so bad. I bet you never felt so bad. That it never felt so good. That it never felt so good. Groping blindly on the floor, we got turkey on our knees. Ooh, baby, please. I use my hands for eyes to squeeze some sort of prize from you.
Please, we are two strangers. sure to check us out on our Facebook page, The Aeons. It's A-E-O-N-S. We also have a bunch of free CDs and shirts and a bunch of buttons. Just take buttons. We have buttons somewhere. You should get them.
Thank you guys so much.
And that was Renee and his infectious personality there
yeah,
at the end.
I forgot that he swore in the middle of the song.
Yeah, our apologies there to the FCC. Renee got a little excited and dropped an F-bomb there.
Yeah.
Your mother and I did not raise you to do these things, Joshua. But I love the guitar hook in the song. Great guitar hook. Did that come first in the writing of the song?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I feel like certain songs come really quick, and I think they have a tendency to be kind of catchy and what people end up liking them. Musically, I sort of, it's weird, it's one of those moments where, you know, music enough to where you can almost just hear a song, like, I almost just felt like I heard the song fully formed before I even, like, touched an instrument. I just sort of hit, I just heard the verse especially, and then, you know, I sort of etched it out from there. I went, the chorus, I played the verse, I figured it out, and then the chorus just flowed, and then the only other thing was the end, the sort of the end riff and the bridge. That was another sort of musical thing that I had already written that ended up working for the song at the end.
Yeah, very catchy. I find myself singing that song and getting strange looks from people walking down the street.
Yeah.
Well, you're building a great following, and we're in a wonderful time now where artists can greenlight themselves. Just kind of getting a prompt that we're almost out of time, but the Aeons are really building their own following. I remember with the band Sublime, I performed a funeral and spoke at a funeral for them, and the bass player's mother, Angie. We ended up playing. I ended up playing Amazing Grace with Sublime, and hearing their story and their journey about when they were like you guys, just building a grassroots following. And by the time they even signed with a label, they had sold like 10,000 of their 10,000 of their CDs, you know, just at shows. So that's the Aeons are building a great following, which I think is going to keep opening up doors for you guys and, you know, the bidding war with the labels and all that stuff. So it's been really a great joy to have you on the show, Josh. I love you. You're a great son and a great musician, a great songwriter, and I know that this band is going to keep on having great things around the corner.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Pat. It's, you know, I've had a really good time talking. You know, I love you as well. I'll let the world know, I guess, on the internet.
Yeah, here we are. And I guess we'll take you out with a little bit more of that catchy guitar hook from the Aeons. Visit them at the Facebook.com, The Aeons, and like their page.
All right, this song's about sex and drugs.
It was the drugs I took. It was the way she looked.